thank you for supporting the media outreach of New Covenant Christian Ministries. Through the powerful preaching and teaching of Pastor Bill and Dr. Deanne Johnson, family relations are being restored, the wayward are returning to God, and together we are transforming all people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Join us now for a message that will strengthen you in your faith and encourage you to be all that God has designed you to be.
Today we're kicking off something called R12, which is true spirituality. And we're getting ready to endeavor. You can go ahead and clap. I see two people. All right. On a study so that we can have, it's really a spiritual growth campaign. Because we have to understand something. First and foremost, God expects you to grow. God expects you to grow. He doesn't expect you to stay at the same level. Your answers today should be different and more informed than your answers 3 years ago from a spiritual standpoint. Amen. God expects us to grow. But the thing about it also, the people around you need you to grow. They need you to grow. We don't want to be, and forgive this, dispensers of ignorance. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, you will handle your life better when you grow. So today what I want to do, I want to give you principles of spiritual growth. We're going to have some aids on the screen for you that's going to help you so you can pull out your phone, take a snapshot of the screen so you'll have it just in case you don't write fast enough. Father, thank you for your word today. The entrance of that word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So we give you praise and we ask that you be glorified. Now, Holy Spirit, open our understanding and we ask that during this time we would grow spiritually. Help us to grow in our relationship with you. Grow in our knowledge of you, grow in our fellowship with you, and grow in our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 is where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Here's the first principle. The first principle of spiritual growth is this. God is ultimately responsible for all spiritual growth. I say it again, God is ultimately responsible for all spiritual growth. See, the danger today, and by the way, I'm getting this information, I'm using a book by Gary C. Newton called Growing Toward Spiritual Maturity. Growing Toward Spiritual Maturity by Gary C. Newton. God is ultimately responsible for spiritual growth. The thing is, we've become so clever and we are so self-confident and we think that our man-made strategies and just the things that we come up with, our technological advances are going to be the thing that's going to aid to our spiritual success stories. But the truth is, God's role in spiritual growth must always be at the center. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 6 says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Notice both verses say that God is the one who gives the increase. From a contextual standpoint, we understand that the church at Corinth were really arguing over their preachers. I like Paul. I like, you know, Apollos. I like, you know, Peter. And so they're saying, in essence, my preacher preaches better than your preacher. I get more from Bishop Toad Frog than I do from Bishop Bullhorn. They were arguing over this, and Paul said, wait a minute. You have to understand, God is the one who grants the increase. Let me tell you something. When you come to New Covenant and you hear me teach, hear Pastor D or whomever is teaching, the truth of the matter is, I'm saying words, we study and all that kind of stuff, but if God's not in it, no spiritual growth will happen. Nothing will happen. Folks, what you are receiving today is really the grace of God on my life. Are you understanding that? I can't take any credit for it. I didn't work for it. He gave it to me because he called me. And so God is at work in this. And so the words that I speak, I may stumble over some words. What's amazing is this. I've had this happen time and time again. And Dr. D and I talk about this. I know that what somebody told me they heard at the end of the service, I didn't say. I'm saying, I know I didn't say that, but if you heard it and you bless you, praise God. So there's someone who's called the Holy Spirit, who's at work in the midst of ministry and in the midst of your spiritual growth. So God is ultimately responsible for all growth. Here's the second principle. The second principle is this: effort, diligence, and discipline are absolutely necessary for growth. Effort, diligence, and discipline are absolutely necessary for growth. In other words, God's responsible for the growth, but he requires my participation. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 5 says this. In the New King James Version, it reads like this: "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." So notice, he said, God gives you the faith, but he said, you got to add to it. Add to your faith. Notice the phrase, giving all diligence, add to it. That same verse in the New International Version says it like this. 2 Peter 1, 5 in the New International Version says, "For this reason," listen to this phrase, "make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." So he's saying, look, it requires your and my participation. It requires our effort. It requires us being diligent in terms of our spiritual growth. Let me give you an example of something. I am on a weight loss journey. Last week, we had the storm, and so it just really, we didn't have power and a number of things that happened, so the gym was closed and whatever. Tomorrow, I got to pay. So I got to get in there and do what I need to do, make it happen. Bro, I got to get, and I'm thinking, okay, I think I may get me a head start today, I don't know. I wish that it did not require my participation. If I could just, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm going to tell on my wife. I'm going to tell on her. Years ago. Everybody say years ago. I'm going to tell. She bought this exercise video, suited up with the exercise video, and put it back then in the VCR. She put it in the VCR, got us some Haagen-Dazs ice cream, sat down, suited up, and watched the exercise video. It requires your participation. We weren't married then. I'd have been laughing till today. But look at somebody say, it requires your participation. So it requires your effort, your energy. hear what I'm saying. From a spiritual standpoint, if you never engage the word, you never pray, you never spend time with God, let me tell you, you aren't going to grow spiritually. Look at your calendar. Look at your time. So it's going to require effort and discipline on our part. So that is a principle for growth. And it makes perfect sense. God is responsible for the growth. He will help us. But listen, we have to participate. We have to give the effort and diligence and the discipline in terms of our spiritual growth. Make an investment in yourself. Make an investment in yourself. Third principle. Spiritual growth potential may not be easy to see at first. Spiritual growth potential may not be easy to see at first. As we evaluate our lives, we must be careful not to underestimate what God can do in and through us. Let me tell you something. Don't you dare think that God can't do mighty things through you. Don't you dare think that where you are now, you're relegated to that place forever. God can take you from where you are and take you where he wants you to be. Listen, as you measure it, it's going to be measured to you. You got to get hungry for God. Hungry for God. And it's amazing as you get hungry for him. You draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Nobody's putting the brakes on. God says, come on. You want more? I'll give you more. Just as much as you want. Come on. But so you may not be able to measure that at first. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 26. Paul observed that they were preoccupied with all of their external qualities for leadership. But listen to what he says. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So listen, if we were picking a team, we wouldn't pick who God picks. You would pick, anybody know what I'm talking about? When you were just playing a little pickup game of basketball or whatever it was, and you had the captain, and they go, give me him, her, and they skip over. So, then give me this one. And then, you kind of feel bad because you got your last two little people, two or three people, like, oh, well, come on. God starts with, oh, well, come on. That's God's starting point. This is what I want to encourage you in. God has seen the end from the beginning. God has already seen what you're going to be, although nothing that you are now looks like it. Has anybody made any spiritual progress? Listen. I told my testimony as a boy. I was a cusser, profanity user. You understand what I'm talking about? Cussing is what we used to call it. I cussed so much that I literally had this thought as a boy. I'm serious, bro. I'm telling you. I thought I had this thought. Man, if I ever got called to preach, I'd be in the pulpit cussing. I'd be like, bring your blankety blank to Christ. You too. You know you need to bring your blankety blank up here. I'm serious. That's where I was. But he saved me. And I've made a change. And I'm talking about it's just absolutely amazing. And so don't you underestimate where you are. Where you are is necessary for your development. Here's another principle. Spiritual growth depends on an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth depends on an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. John 15, verse number 5. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Notice again, I am the vine. You are the branches. Stop. Jesus speaking. I am the vine. You are the branches. Don't get it twisted. I'm the vine. I'm the thing that's attached to where all the resources come through, and you are attached to me. I can live without you. But you cannot live without me. I'm the one that's attached. Think about a vine. It's attached to the soil, and it's receiving all the nutrients, and the branch is receiving from what it's attached to. And so what he's saying here in terms of a spiritual growth, you and I must have this intimate relationship with Jesus. There has to be this open, close-knit relationship. He has to be your all. He has to be who you are in love with. He has to be a part of every part of your life. Do not compartmentalize God and try to say, God, this is my Sunday stuff, but don't touch that. No, no, include him in everything because he has the answers for everything. And so there has to be this intimate relationship. And I want to encourage you. He knows you anyway. I pray like this sometimes. I say, well, Lord, it's no need in my trying to hide. Because the scripture talks about everything is naked and bare before him. Everything, the light is darkness. I mean, the darkness is light, rather, around him. And so nothing's hidden from him. And so no need in my trying to be pretentious. Bring the real me to him and let him deal with the real me. As that, what happens is this, I begin to receive his life. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you abide, if you stay in me, and he who abides in me and I in him, he's going to bear much fruit. Think about this. Fruit is really... Fruit bearing is the byproduct of abiding. Fruit bearing isn't something that the fruit is going to say, okay, I'm gonna produce me some fruit. We're to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, according to Galatians chapter 5, right? So if you're having trouble producing love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, check your connection. If you don't have peace, check your connection. If you don't have any love in your heart, check your connection. If you are just mean, hateful, just on this side of Georgia, you've got mean all by yourself, the meanest thing on this side of town. Check your connection. Check your connection. Because that intimate relationship is vital to your spiritual growth. Number five. Growth, please hear this one. Growth is primarily an inside-out process. Growth is primarily an inside-out process. Growth relates more to the condition of a person's heart on the inside than what the person encounters from the outside. So, listen to this. It's not what's going on around me, it's what's going on in me. If I am still responding to everything around me like I did years ago, and perhaps I've not grown. Some people, listen to me, have been, I've been running with Jesus a long time. I'm not tired yet, and all this kind of stuff. Praise God. There are some people that's just old in Jesus. Meaning they've got some years, but they're still immature. They've not grown. You can find somebody that's hungry and feeding their spirit the word of God, and they're growing and maturing spiritually. And then you find a person that's starving their spirit, but and they're just, this is what I feel. This is what I think. Listen to the language of the people that you encounter. If you hear them say this is what I feel. Feeling is the voice of emotion. This is what I think. Think is the voice of reason. But when you say, this is what I believe, that's the voice of your spirit. And you can see how you're responding based upon this growth. Look at Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2. Romans 12 and 2. Because it's an inside-out process. Romans 12, 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice, do not be conformed, but be transformed. When you're talking about do not be conformed, the word is where we get our word schematic from. And it's where you look at something and then you're able, like for instance, on some of the older refrigerators, you used to have a schematic, a diagram there, and you should be able to look at it and perhaps produce that thing or put it back together again. He's saying, don't look at the world and then conform to that. He said that, and call yourself, because a lot of us, all we work on is the external and never work on the internal. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to be transformed. That's where we get our word metamorphosis from. And you know the story about the caterpillar and the butterfly and all of that. But this is what I want you to know. Once something has been transformed, it never can return to what it used to be. God wants to bring such a transformation in my life and in your life that you aren't the person you used to be. I'm not that person that I used to, thank God. And you need to thank God that you're not that person you used to be. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Because see, you've had situations and you've seen how your response is different now than what it was then. And so this is when you encounter somebody and you know your response is different, you just say, oh, God loves you. God loves you. Why? Because you didn't want to meet Billy 10 years ago. You didn't want to meet the old, you didn't want that. Oh, God loves you. God, oh, I'm telling you, God loves you. God loves you. And so when you know what I'm talking about too, because they didn't want to meet the you from, and just keep looking straight. Don't tell anybody. That's between us, all right? And so you realize that you have been transformed. Have you ever gone to a family reunion and perhaps you've seen nephews, nieces, kids in a part of the family and you haven't seen them for a year? One of the first things when I was growing up, they used to always say, "My goodness, you've grown." And then when I became an adult, I'm looking at the kids going, "My goodness, you've grown." Anybody know what I'm talking about? What would you think if year after year you went to the same family reunion and the person was the same physical size year after year? What would you think? How old is Daniel? Daniel's 6, so he's probably, what, about 3 feet tall or so? That's, I don't know what it is, 4 feet tall, whatever the height is, about yay high. All right, he's 6. I mean, he's 6? He's 6? All right, I'm back. You expect him to go according to the growth chart. That's recommended, right? Why is it from a spiritual standpoint? There is no growth chart. We don't even get on the spiritual growth chart and check yourself after the years and see where you are. Because the transformation is an inside out process. And what God is going to do is change you from the inside out. And it really will be you. You'll just be different. Okay? All right. Number 6. Is this helping? All right. Number 6. Spiritual growth relates to every aspect of your life. Spiritual growth relates to every aspect of your life. This time, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But I want us to look at it in the New Living Translation. It relates to every aspect of your life. In the New Living Translation, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." Now notice it says, give your what to God? Come on, say it. Bodies. Then he said, "This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So spiritual growth, notice he uses two things right here. Talking about your body, present your body to God. But he said the transformation is going to occur as you change the way you think, right? So now it's affected your thinking. So spiritual growth, it touches every aspect. Once it touches your thinking, you'll begin to respond differently to life's situations. You'll respond differently. You won't get overwhelmed when a problem comes to your life the way you used to. You have somewhere to go and someone to be there with you. And you know that he is your keeper. He's your strength. And so it affects every area of your life. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, they would quote what they call the Shema. And basically, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And as they talk about the Lord your God is one, then they would say, what you need to do, you need to get this word and you need to teach it to your family. You need to do everything you need to do so that it affects The way you live your life at home, at work, when you go to play, when you go out, wherever you go, this word is affecting, is changing your life. You, when you grow, everything around you changes. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes you change and everything around you remains the same. Your perspective about it has changed when you grow. So it's got to happen it's to the place where it affects every area of your life. It was today we'll have a baptism service. We've got somebody to be baptized. And they told the story of one person talking about, God, I want you in every area of my life, you know. And so generally they take them down. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so you're in essence surrendering your all to Jesus and you're giving him your all. So one guy was going down in the water and he said, God, I give you everything. Everything under this water, because it's you buried with him and then raised with him. He stuck his wallet out of the water. Because he said, God, not that. You don't want to stick anything out the water. You want God in every aspect of your life. All right? You want him in every aspect of your life. All right. Number 7. Significant growth occurs within the context of frustration, suffering, and challenge. Look at somebody and say, I didn't need to hear that. Significant growth occurs within the context of frustration, suffering, or challenge. Look at Romans 8 and 18. Romans 8 and 18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wait. So what he's saying is this. If you want to grow, God has to provide a classroom for you. He has to provide an opportunity for you. And what will happen is this, that you are facing, the challenges, he said, the sufferings, the frustration, really, you really don't know how strong you are until you face the opposition, until you face the challenge. I mentioned that, talking about the gym, one of the things that, you know, in terms you do your cardio and do your weight and all this kind of stuff, when you start out, you're at one level. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So now, just from a cardio perspective, on my journey, I do about 4 miles or so on my cardio. I wasn't always able to do 4 miles, but I've grown. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when I do the weights, I'm lifting more than what I was lifting. Now don't go there. So what I have to find out is this. What the situations do, they begin to apply pressure to your spiritual muscle. So that you're developing them more. And what will happen is God will train you on your form. You know what I'm saying? He'll do what he will make sure he'll train your mouth. He'll train your tongue. What are you talking about? He'll let you know you want to say that, but you cannot say that. Now, you can't speak that over your life right now. You know better. Because you know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So shut up. Don't you say that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so you begin to develop. I know that, okay. If I want a blessed marriage, I can't start saying, you know, yeah, that old hag that I married. Are you kidding me? Girl, please, you know, just, no. I'm growing. I know I can't speak that because I'm going to eat the fruit of that. So you know what? Somebody gave me a picture of her for my birthday, Elder Melinda, for on a mouse pad. And so I got it on a mouse pad right now. I told her this morning. I said, I get so distracted because you're so pretty. That's right, Jack. Yes, sir. That's right. I said, I find it hard to concentrate. I'm trying to do, and I look at that mouse pad, and I'm just mesmerized. Okay? What are you saying? When challenges come, if a challenge comes in our relationship, if a challenge comes in our family, if a challenge comes, I need to apply the spiritual growth that I need to go in there from a standpoint where I'm recognizing this is working for me. Are you okay? Now, I told you to go to Romans chapter 8. I'm getting ready to go to another scripture. I wanted to give you a disclaimer before I read this scripture because I did not put any seat belts in the seats today, and you might get ready to orbit after you read this one. All right, so you cool? Just get your footing and everything. Because you better recognize the challenges and what they're doing in your life. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 10. 1 Peter 5 and 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Stop right there. Your suffering has a timetable. Meaning it's not going to continue. You're not going to be in this place forever. After you have suffered a while. Then he says, after you've suffered a while, something's going to happen. This God of all grace, what is he going to do? This is the promise. He said, after you've suffered a while, he's going to, here you go, perfect. Stop right there. Give God a praise for perfection. That means he's going to bring you to a place of maturity. He's going to perfect you. But then it says this. Not only will he perfect you, he is going to establish you. I'm at a place where you're going to be at a place where not just I'm matured, but I'm established. You remember when some of us were just getting started and you weren't established yet, but you know how you felt once you got established. God's going to establish you. And not only is he going to establish you, the text says he's going to strengthen you. Not just strengthen you, he's going to settle you. Do me a favor. Give me that in the New Living Translation. Let's see what that says. Same verse in the New Living Translation. And I'm really dependent upon you to put that one up there. All right. It says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you. and he will place you on a firm foundation. Do we have the Message translation? The Message? Can we read, let's read it in the same verse in the Message translation. Let's see what it says. The suffering won't last forever. Come on, we got to shout with me on this one. No, keep it up there, keep it up there, keep it up there, keep it up there. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, keep going, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word, and he said, yes, he does. Come on, say, yes, he does. So he's saying there, in the midst of the suffering that you're going through, God got the last word on it. Come on, say, yes, he does. If I were preaching today, and I would go, oh, yes, he does. All right, I'd do that one, but anyway. So you've got to recognize that God has you in the classroom. How many educators we got? Educators, wave at me. Every educator will give you a test to determine if you've learned the lesson. And so the things that you experience, he prepares you for it. And by the way, it's an open book test. Amen. Here's the last one. The very last one. Growth happens most naturally with a close social context. In other words, growth happens in small groups. Growth happens in small groups. God never intended for you to grow by yourself. He intend. I know you're every woman. I know it's all that and it's in you. I know that you're a man. But hear what I'm saying. You can't do this by yourself. You need other people. God didn't save just you. He saved you, but he didn't save just you. There are others. And God wanted a family, and he knew that he needed to put people in a family together, because when we get together, we sharpen one another. We grow, help one another to grow. And so it's going to happen naturally. Because listen, you might every now and then get on your own nerves, but there are some people that can do it much quicker than you. All right? Look in Ephesians chapter number 4. And so you'll grow, and we'll grow, encourage one another, strengthen one another. Ephesians 4:11. And I'm reading this one from the New International Version. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 from the NIV, the New International Version. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Notice these words. He wanted to equip the people so that they can get to the place of maturity. And then he used the word built up. All of those are growth words. Then verse 14 says, then we no longer will be infants. Stop. So apparently, God doesn't want you to stay an infant. He doesn't want you to stay children, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful plotting. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So he wants us to grow and come out of this child, this infancy stage. So he's saying this, look, if you don't grow, what'll happen is this. You'll find yourself susceptible to anything because you're tossed to and fro. And what's amazing to me is if you listen, thank God for media, thank God for all of the media outlets, be it TV, internet, whatever it is. Hey, y'all on the internet. Say, hey, y'all. I want you to hear this, though. It's good. Thank God for it. It opens the door. But anybody can be on it. And everybody that's on it may not be teaching sound doctrine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The other thing is this. You listen and you can listen and you hear five TV, Christian TV broadcasts, and if you had to determine what God said by the five broadcasts, you're confused. Because I'm not knocking it. We've done TV for years. Not knocking it. But what I'm getting at is this. It's up to the believer to grow. And they have to be in a context of a community to grow, in a small group to grow. That's why one of the things that we're doing now with this spiritual growth campaign, we're getting ready to kick off small groups. I'm talking about small groups on steroids. That's what I'm saying. Because I want everybody to be a part of it so that we can get connected. You can grow. And we're providing every opportunity so that you can get involved and say, you know what? I want to do life-to-life relationship. It's where you begin to ask questions and understand what this means and what that means. We're going to go through Romans chapter number 12. We're using Chip Ingram's the R12 method here. And it's spiritual growth. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you get involved, if you just take the chance, and I want you to sign up today, by the way. We're going to have sign up in the foyer today. I'm going out there. In fact, I'm teaching a men's class on Wednesday night. Jack, if you want to grow, come in there with me. Yeah. Yes, sir. Come on in there with me. I'm telling you, it's on like a bull in a china shop. But anyway, so it's on. But and Dr. D's teaching a class. A number of us are teaching a class. And I just want to encourage you because growth happens in community. We've got to quit being so individualistic about our spirituality, and we've got to recognize God looks at the body. Amen. It's a king, and he has a kingdom. Amen. And I'm telling you, when this bride called the church matures and become all that he wants her to be, watch out. We're going to be presented before him as a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. My friend, I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part so that you, as you lock in over the next upcoming weeks, we're going to make sure that we keep plowing in this area and providing everything that you need as best we can to give you the opportunity to grow. You ready to grow? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information on other products and materials, please contact us at 770-484-9300, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., or visit our website at www.newcov.org. If you're in the Atlanta area, we invite you to join us for one of our dynamic services. Once again, thank you for receiving the living word of God from New Covenant Christian Ministries, where we are transforming all people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ.